Hello, and welcome to Big Trouble in Little Podcast, a show where there is themes of movies and they have a gimmick of ranking at the end of the month. Today we are going Kai Fabe, and the boys are talking about the movie Ready to Rumble. Enjoy, Jabronis.
And then I'll hit.
No.
Hello, everybody. It is April 9th, 2024, 9:36 p.m. Eastern Time. It is episode 281 of Big Trouble of Podcasts. I am Joe Dubs.
I'm Andy.
I'm Chaz.
I'm here.
Zach is here. Kind of wonderful that we're having like a wrestling theme month. WrestleMania just happened. Chaz is back from WrestleMania. I know you guys are not going to hear this until like a month after WrestleMania happened, but recording, we have to say it because we're in the now, we're in the present recording this, and the people in the future will hear the shit later on. But we are doing Ready to Rumble for my pick because Zach chose a theme, which was wrestling, and he said, pick movies. So he made me pick one. Well, he didn't make me, but I picked one and it's Ready to Rumble. And, I'm going to say this right off the bat. Shit movie, but I still love it.
You know, we were talking before about if we had like the picks of bad movies that we all defended. I'm not saying, like, I'm sure there's plenty of other movies we could all choose, but man, oh man, this would be a good one for you to put in that list.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what's like, because when I watched this when I was a kid, like, I was like, holy fuck, Diamond Dallas Page, holy shit, Sting, Goldberg, and all that stuff, because I was watching Nitro. I was more of a Nitro boy than a WWE boy, or WWF back in the day, and I was really confused about Diamond Dallas Page being the fucking heel in this movie when I was a kid, because when I watched it, I was like, wait a second, he's a face, he's a good guy, like, why is he a bad guy in this film? But anyway, just the plot of this movie is really fucking simple. It's two fucking fans that love a fictional wrestler character guy named Jimmy King, who's played by Oliver Platt, which, by the way, amazing actor, by the way. He has some good movies in there. David Arquette and then the other guy, Scott Kahn. They are the biggest fans of Jimmy King. In the beginning of the movie, there's a shoot that happens in the match where Sinclair, which is played by, fuck, what's his name? I don't know his name, but he's like in, oh, Joe Panatolanio, fucking Italian. Can't say his name. He's the bad guy from The Matrix who likes to eat steak and wants to go back into The Matrix.
Yeah. That's him?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, I couldn't tell really.
Mm-hmm. But
he was a crooked cop in Memento.
That's, yeah, that's true. And he's like to make it simple, if anybody's wrestling fans out there, he's the Vince McMahon, he's the Uncle Eric Bischoff or the Vince Russo.
That's what movie. I kept thinking they were trying to hint at.
Yeah, and he said, "I hate this fat fuck Jimmy King and his trailer park trash bullshit. I want the belt off of him. Dallas, you're going over, pretty much. Just punch the shit out of him."
It bothered me they never explained why. Like, he hates him, but he's never like, oh, this guy can't wrestle, or this guy was mean to me, or he fucked my wife, or like, he just hates him, and that makes him a bad guy. Like, I don't know, maybe Jimmy King sucks. I mean, apparently he does suck, because he, like, you know, fucked his family over and took his parents' RV, and so, like, I guess he does suck. I don't know.
Yeah,
I kind of took the context of, like, he told him he was over because he put him over, and he was just like lazy, and like he was kind of an asshole.
Yeah, it's kind of like wrestling, like today in a way. You know, like they don't like their toys anymore. Like Tony Khan doesn't like his toy, or you know, back in the day, if Vince McMahon didn't like a person, he'd be like, "Fuck it."
I want to point out something really early in the movie, whenever he like gives a whole spiel of, "Hey, this is how this is gonna go down," the backstage thing, and then he pulls DDP aside and say, "Hey, forget everything I just said." He tells him what's gonna happen. He says the exact lines, "That works for me, brother."
Yes.
And that is not accidental. I did appreciate that. There are a few things about this movie I appreciated now being older as a wrestling fan as opposed to when I watched it as a kid. Because I was like you. I was just confused about a lot of it. Because, again, I watch wrestling. So watching it, it was confusing to see good guys and bad guys together. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. But now knowing like more of the backstage stuff, it there were a little bit of it I liked a little bit more. It's still a really shit movie, but it's like a shit movie I would come back to every now and again.
I just want to point this out. David Arquette fucking annoys me. Like his comedic his comedic shit is just like he just screams. Like that's his comedy.
He just continues like, being fucking Dewey from fucking Scream.
Yeah. Just to like 11.
That he's more like Doofy from Scary Movie. That's like he's acting to be like the parody of himself. It's kind of weird.
It's by the way, it's like the late 90s, early 2000s, like humor, by the way, because there's a lot of like shit jokes, like gay jokes, you know, you're a pussy and all that stuff. Like, I put it in our messenger last night, where it's like, you know, wrestling's for losers. I'm like, this is what probably most people thought about, like the casual fans before like blew up, I guess, after the invasion era.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, where people were just like, wrestling's for losers. Why are you watching something that's fake? And you know, oily men that are in their underwear touching each other.
Guess what, bitch? Wrestling's cool again, but that's for another day. But to context, I watched this movie after main event of night two of WrestleMania 40. I literally watched, which I'll spoil, was the single greatest live event I've ever seen in my life of anything, and then went to my room and watched this with my gay brother.
Talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse.
Yeah. It's funny. But it almost made it better because it was like, what the fuck are we watching?
It's funny because, like, call back to getting some color episodes. Chaz has a thing where he'll watch WWE or Raw, and then he'll watch WCW and just get fucking annoyed. So, like, this is like the exact same thing. He watched Mania, and then he watched the shit WCW again.
Apparently I'm bad for that. Apparently you're supposed to watch the shit first, but no one told me.
Yeah. Well, I did oust it as like a bad movie, so when I pitched it.
Well, I will give this credit, because there's a whole like controversy too, for those that don't know, about David Arquette then being in WCW and winning the championship, and that being, again, the company was dying well before that happened, but that didn't help things. But if you've heard about it, the story itself is kind of interesting. The movie / documentary, You Can't Kill David Arquette, if you've not watched it, especially after watching this movie and kind of getting the tie into it, is awesome. I highly recommend it to anybody. It's really, really good. It's a very fun watch, especially after watching Ready to Rumble. And then, again, if you know anything about his WCW stuff, but they cover that a little bit. Yeah, what a redemption story in real life. And also, he almost gets fucking killed by Nick Gage. That's interesting. Scratch him in the fucking neck with a broken fucking light tube.
I gotta ask you guys something, because David Arquette's father in this movie, who is the whole family is like sheriffs and shit, and they love to shoot people. And by the way, it's so funny. Like, I shot a perp today. Aren't you proud for shooting a perp today and all that stuff? And it's like, today's politics is kind of weird saying that. and watching this. But anyway, I digress. But he says this quote to Gordy's character. He says, just because your dream doesn't make it just because it's your dream doesn't make it right or noble or whatever. Charles Manson was following his dream. Joseph Stalin, Michael Bolton. You get my point. What did Michael Bolton do?
He had a career and a lot of people hate him, I guess. I don't know.
Fuck the guy. Michael Bolton's amazing.
I just thought that was a weird quote.
It was kind of strange. There's a lot of strange quotes in this movie.
It's that weird, like, that shit's gay. It's a lot of that stupid humor from like the 90s that just does not age well anyway. But it's all their dumb, just like left field random stuff. Like, yeah.
There was also like the stupid part, like after they found out the Four Post Massacre, like killed Jimmy King and kicked Jimmy King out of the WCW, like they're crying in the fucking cesspool fucking truck. You know, like I got allergies, Sinclair allergies and all that stuff. And like he bangs on the fucking steering wheel and then the fucking truck goes over. And then out of nowhere, the fucking toilet paper truck comes out of nowhere. And that's like their destiny, apparently, where they're just like, hey, like we need to go find Jim King because our fucking shit truck fell on the road. And then a toilet paper truck crashed into the shit truck.
When that semi was coming up the road and it started to crash, I said, I swear to God, if that semi is full of toilet paper. And then it was. And I thought about turning the movie off, but I stuck with it.
There was a toilet humor.
That's basically like the wall of the movie. If you've reached that point and you've survived that, you can get through the rest of it. Like, let's just lay it out. This movie sucks. It's fucking sucks. But it reaches some point of, if you are enough of a fan of wrestling, it's so bad, it's kind of something you can watch. Like, this would be a great movie for a drinking game. I know friends of mine, actually, I think you guys have done it too. We do, like, with our mutual friends, Star Wars Whiskey Christmas. I know Andy's done it. I can't remember, Zach, if you've been able to come to those or not. We basically watch, like, episode 1 and episode 2. Just like pick the worst possible Star Wars movies to watch and just drink and laugh and make fun of it. Like, it feels like one of those movies, but it's worse. But it feels like something you could go back and watch and just come up with something stupid about it. So that's like the only redeeming thing. Otherwise, it's like, eh. I'm curious. So, like, and Zach, I'd like to hear more from you about it, but I'm so ready for whenever we're done. I want to hear what Andy's going to say, because I feel like either Andy's going to have all these like torching things to say about it, or he's just going to be so tired of it that he just wants to move on.
I can tell.
Honestly, so far, what has surprised me most is I think I liked this movie more than you guys did. this is like the best.
That is a shock.
This is the best made-for-TV movie I've ever seen.
But it wasn't made for TV.
I know. Like, it's, I don't know, it's like I expected it to be terrible, and honestly, like, the beginning's kind of bad, and the directing, it just sucks out loud. Like, it's horrible. It's like a made for TV movie. But so many actors are giving, like, not just 110%, like David Arquette and Scott Conn are giving 200 fucking percent on this movie. They are all in on Ready to Rumble, and a lot of the other actors are too. Honestly, I thought Jimmy King, I thought he was like one of the worst things. I hated that casting. I thought, well, this guy doesn't seem like a wrestler to me at all. Like, I know you can't just hire another wrestler and say, oh, he's Jimmy King, but it's actually Randy Savage or whatever. Like, that wouldn't work. But so I don't know the solution there, but like, Jimmy King kind of sucked, and then like everything else was like fun and stupid, and it's like exciting to be like, oh, Goldberg's there, and they're like, you should join our posse, Goldberg, and he's like, you barfed on me, no way, dude. And then like Sting's there, and Joe, whatever his name is, Pantomino or whatever, is like, I want you to fucking kill him if he gets here. It's like, this is silly. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, let me be frank. Like, I love this film. But I also know, like, it sucks.
That's what I mean. Like,
Yeah,
it's a made for TV like a piece of trash. Like, but I like watching it. I was like, oh, I'm having a nice time. This is an exciting 2 hours for me.
What a scenario! You went out, like you went out, or you met up with some buddies, or hell, you were even at home. You had a couple drinks. You're doing something fun. Things have died down. You're still not quite ready to go to sleep, but you're chilling out, and you turn the television on, and this movie's on. You're not turning it off.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's totally like in that setting, you're like, oh, I'm like, I'm ready just to goofily laugh until I go and eat whatever I'm eating to make sure I don't get hungover.
There wasn't whole lot of laugh out loud moments for me.
There was one for me.
But like you're entertained.
Yeah.
Diamond upside down is a pussy.
That's what actually kind of got me.
I almost put that as my thing. Like I love the whole conversation about the seats being so shit, and he's like, yeah, but he lost his right nut. And he's like, well, tell him you kick him in the left nut for me. And he's like, well, if you lost one of your nuts, is it still your left nut? And he had to think about it. And he's like, it's like stupid, but it's funny.
I laughed out loud at one joke. And I remember saying, okay, movie, you got one. And it's a really dumb joke. Like it's not even that well written. I think I was just blindsided by the fact that there was a well written joke in this movie. But when he goes to see Rose McGowan, and he's like, Buenos Nachos, Senorita, or whatever. And she's like, oh, Gordy, I didn't know you speak Spanish. He says, yeah, I took it in high school several times. I thought that was a really well-written joke. That was really funny.
There's actually another part of that joke that was funny because I actually have it written down somewhere. Sasha says, are you fluent? And then Gordy says, no, I feel fine.
I was probably busy laughing.
It's terrible. Yeah. Like, it's just that really corny, like, it's well written, but not. It's like Laffy Taffy. Like, just, again, it's just that type of humor. It's fine, though. Again, sometimes things need to just be like, again, you're not going to eat pizza every day of your life. You're not. If you're eating filet mignon every day of your life, then you have other problems, like colon cancer, probably. So, like, again, sometimes you just got to eat, like, greasy fried Oreos or something. I don't know. Like, this movie's fine. It's like the fucking Crunchies from Long John Silver's. I see them, and I'm disgusted, but I know I'll try them every now and again.
It's a pretty good analogy.
Zach, I want to hear your opinions about this movie, because, I mean, we're all... three out of the four are like big wrestling fans, but I want to hear your opinion on this movie since you are a wrestling fan.
I kind of figured, I'm sorry to interrupt Zach's thing, but the last point I wanted to make was I'm surprised that wrestling fans would like this movie because it seems really insulting to them, and not for the reasons you said. It pissed me off that they establish that wrestling is fake and then the climax hinges on an actual fight.
Yeah,
you told me this is fake, and now there's a real fight. Like I'm getting mixed messages, ready to rumble.
Thank you for saying that. That's part of what I was going to say.
All right, sorry, I should have just kept my mouth shut then.
No, it's fine. But I got a whole bunch of mixed feelings about this movie. Like for one thing, yeah, a lot of the comedy in it is like just annoying and not funny to me. Like some of it is. Very few jokes land. Like the stuff we were just talking about, those were all the things that were actually funny to me, pretty much.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
There's not. No, it's.
But like, and then Andy was talking about the guy that was Jimmy King, and then I was like, I guess this guy is supposed to be Jerry the King Lawler. I don't know, but then there was in the first scene where they're like in the convenience store, and then the friggin' David Arquette's daydreaming.
Oh, yeah, Randy the daydream with Macho Man.
And Randy Savage is there for a minute, and then I don't know why, but this thought struck me after it was over, and then I saw Jimmy King. I was like, why couldn't Macho Man just be Jimmy King? This would be a way better movie.
I think they were worried he wouldn't be able to act well enough, right? That's the only thing
I feel like think that they couldn't trust that a wrestler was going to be good enough in that role. Which is stupid because that guy didn't do great a job. But then, like looking at the setting, you have all these other wrestlers that, again, at this time in like 2000, again, this is a peak for wrestling in a way. Like it's the sun setting on WCW, but people know who these guys are.
Yeah, I think
so. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so the whole thing is like you put all these very well known wrestlers. You didn't align them appropriately in the way they are in their own promotion, and then you pick some fictional guy that does not fit in at fucking all. Like, I know we're talking about, like, he doesn't fit in at all. It's not even like Jerry the King Lawler. He just doesn't fit in at all. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So it's so weird to see this Shrek-looking motherfucker get in there with everybody. Like, he just doesn't look like he fits. Like, just pick another wrestler or get a guy that, like, again, is kind of jacked or something. Like, you can still explain it and do all the same beats with whatever you're doing for the story, but it is what it is.
I imagine a lot of these guys, though, too, had, like, tight schedules. Like, you can tell that everything for Goldberg was probably shot in an afternoon. So they were probably busy, like, going and being on TV, and then they'd take, like, a week off and fly out to be in this movie or something. But that didn't remind me of another line that I liked, but only because I punched it up. But when they're trying to get Goldberg on their posse, and Goldberg's like, you were a second-rate friend, a third-rate wrestler. I said, well, Goldberg, you're a second-rate wrestler and a third-rate actor, you hack.
But yeah, like, a lot of the toilet humor, like, that kind of shit's just grates on me. That's like stuff I don't find funny that irritates me in comedy movies usually.
You can tell it's the stuff they're like, wrestling fans will like this. We'll put this in our movie.
And that was the other thing I got. It was like, God damn, they just think so low of people that like wrestling, like watching this movie. Mm-hmm. And it kind of pisses me off a little bit. I can't help it.
It kind of like shits on WCW, and the irony of that is this whole thing was supposed to be used as a way to make WCW popular again, and it kind of just shit on all of them. So just like another thing that, like, just, again, just another shovel of dirt in there to help bury them further until they actually die.
I kind of remember that was like the sentiment back then, like, online, people were like, why is... They made everybody look that likes wrestling look stupid. It's like, that's how they portrayed them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a couple. I want you guys to finish all your beats and stuff, but before we move on to final stuff on everything, I do have a couple of did you knows to bring up, but I can do it after. We have a good flow of stuff. I just want to make sure to come back to it.
Okay. I just got like a couple more things to say. And I'm
exactly. Yeah. Mad. Yeah. You're good.
The other thing that kind of struck me when I was watching this, and this might be like a reason like why I tend to hate a lot of comedy movies, especially from the 90s and like the 2000s, is I feel like when Dumb and Dumber came out, everybody tried to do something like Dumb and Dumber, and it's just not as good. And that resulted in all like these really bad comedy movies that has like they try to hit those kind of notes. Like, these two fucking doofus dumbasses go on a road trip. They're trying to do something, and it's just not nearly as good as that.
I feel like there's something to be said for. I almost feel like every popular movie in the 90s was either Dumb and Dumber, Jurassic Park, or Pulp Fiction.
That's
all anyone tried to do after that. Great, great big spectacle, stupid buddy fart comedy, or I'm confused, the timeline screwed up, oh, someone got shot.
you might be onto something. That sounds like a good panel later on. Save that for MAGFest one year.
There it is. I liked the part where Sid Vicious and Perry Saturn tried to kill Stu Hart.
Which, by the way, I was going to
bring up. Is that a real guy, that trainer, or was that made up?
No, he reminds me of Stu Hart, you know, Brett's father and everything.
100% who he's supposed to be.
I figured it was something like that.
Stu Hart had this reputation of, like, there were guys in the old days of wrestling, they were known as, like, hookers. And those are like dudes that could legitimately stretch you and fucking like just make you, oh my God, like you're going to cry out in pain and you just want to give up immediately for real.
Yeah. And there's like, and actually I'm going to bring it up later in the what did I do type of thing. But yeah, these guys, like, literally the old school way of getting into the business was just getting stretched to death. And if you survived it and you came back for more, that was your entry to prove you were tough enough to be a wrestler. And they would teach you. Like, could you imagine going to someone is like, I want to learn what you learn. Okay. And they just beat the fuck out of you for a couple of days. And then you come back and like, I want more. And they're like, all right, you're in. Like, that's basically, it's like a really shitty initiation. But like, it's These guys were tough.
It's like lesson one.
What?
And, like, I love the Yates with the door and immediately puts him in it. So a couple tidbits about this movie I thought was kind of cool. First off, this was silly, but it's apparently true. No wrestlers were harmed during making this movie. Which is a weird thing to say, because, like, you know, people get hurt all the time in wrestling and making movies, and nobody got hurt making this movie, which to me is actually a miracle, because this movie looks like it was put together like shit anyway. Mm-hmm. So the fact that no one got hurt in that triple cage bullshit is just kind of impressive.
Yeah, that shot of DDP, like, going through all the cages, like, it's cut weird because it looks like he's going head first and then he's not, and then like head first and then he's not.
That shit looked like a Mortal Kombat fatality when that happened.
It was like running through spikes. Yeah.
They didn't do that with three cages or whatever.
They did do that
with Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, unfortunately. There's also an old match. It's not three cages, if I remember. It's just two on top of each other.
Oh, and, yeah.
We're actually about to watch that somewhat soon, aren't we? Like in this next year. Yeah. Hulk Hogan and Macho Man versus the Dungeon of Doom. Every bad guy that ever faced Hogan in the last decade. Spoilers. Hogan and Macho Man beat the fuck out of everybody.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
No. How do you do it? No. But anyway, so that was one trivia. This is actually really cool. And again, it ties into David Arquette ended up being this like very like notoriously hated figure in wrestling because Vince Russo, the dumbass, decided to put the WCW title, which at that point still had some merit of prestige to it, on David Arquette for a gimmick.
Did he actually wrestle as the Law or whatever?
No, he actually wrestled as David Arquette, which was even worse.
That is.
And then
that's bad as hell.
And then
he just was billed as David Arquette, the actor.
Yeah, literally, yes. They had because listen how bullshit it is. It was.
That's great.
I can remember it.
You're on for.
So listen, okay, so.
Wrestling doesn't respect wrestling. Like, no wonder they think this.
Okay, so Vince Russo booked a tag match. It was Vince Russo and Jeff Jarrett, who was the champion, versus Diamond Dallas Page and David Arquette. But they made the stipulation within a tag team match, whoever pinned the other person won the championship. So they made it so that David Arquette pinned Jeff Jarrett. So even though the match was set that way, I think I'm remembering this correctly, right? You tell me if I'm wrong. It was either that or it was a fatal four-way type of situation, and which sounds even worse because DDP definitely helped David Arquette pin him. Like, literally could have pinned him himself to win the championship and instead set it up so David Arquette could pin him. Mm-hmm. And David Arquette pinned him. The story backstage is that David Arquette begged and pleaded, said, "Please do not put this on me. These fans will murder me. Please don't. I do not deserve this title. I'm not a wrestler. Please don't do this to me." They talked him into it anyway. They did it. They fucking hated it. He ended up relinquishing the title the next week. Then, somewhere in that time frame, Vince Russo became the champion. What? It's even worse. Yeah. Oh, no. This is literally on, like, WCW on its last legs. It's fucking terrible. Like, this year of wrestling is just awful. I'll
watch that sounds fucking hilarious.
Well, I mean, eventually, I guess we'd get to it. But that said, the reason I wanted to bring it up is, okay, so David Arquette's hated for all this stuff.
Jeff Jarrett, is that what you said?
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett was the champion.
Oh, well, who cares?
If I'm remembering it correctly.
Jeff Jarrett never met the Muppets, so fuck him.
So, around the time of this, so David Arquette filmed this movie, did all this stuff with WCW, got all this money for showing up, winning the title, all this stuff. He took all of the money that he gained for his appearances for WCW in the movie and gave all of his WCW earnings to the family of deceased wrestler Brian Pillman. Because that was one of his favorite wrestlers. And, of course, Brian Pillman died of an overdose a couple years prior to that. So that's really cool. Now, unfortunately, I don't know if that helped the family or not, because his wife was a bit of we'll say controversial person, but that is what it is. But
she lost her mind.
she did lose her mind. Yeah, I mean, understandably, right? So it's just kind of cool to know, like, he did that. Like, he truly was a really big wrestling fan. I almost hate what happened to him. But again, go back, if you ever have a chance, watch You Can't Ever Kill David Arquette. It is an awesome watch, especially knowing the stuff that happened and like around this movie and everything. IMDb it's such a good watch.
It says if you liked Ready to Rumble, you should watch that.
That's well, it's much, like it's a much better movie. Yeah, like, it's actually a good movie. Like it's really interesting. So,
fun fact about David Arquette, he's a deathmatch wrestler now. He just goes to fucking deathmatch wrestling and GCW and all that stuff and MLW.
Yeah, he's a wrestler. It's just kind of crazy. But yeah, anyway, so what do you guys think about this movie?
Hang on, I have a package too. I had one last thing.
Okay, you're fine.
I said the movie's basically like the best direct-to-TV I've ever seen. The directing kept making me think about that, so I had to research this, and that makes perfect sense. Like, it has a bunch of stupid, hokey bullshit, like fucking Sweet Life of Zack and Cody moments where like I'm almost done with the high school wrestling team, and then the door swings open to reveal a high school wrestling team comically bandaged up and in pain. Like, it's fucking stupid. That's dumb as shit. But I was like, okay, who wrote this? Who directed this? Okay, the guy who wrote this, his writing credits include all the Mighty Ducks films, Disney's Heavyweights,
Norbit,
Little Nicky, and some shit I haven't heard of in this. So
Norbit.
there's problem number one. Now, the director worked on, he directed Good Burger. He worked on the Kenan and Kel show. He worked on Cousin Skeeter. You remember that fucking spinoff? He worked on all that. He worked on some other shit. He directed Norbit, like Chaz just said. He directed The Shaggy Dog. But yeah, a bunch of television stuff and awful movies. So, and it started all making sense. I just thought it was funny that he directed all this like Nickelodeon shit. And the other guy wrote a bunch of Disney stuff. And they're like, let's make a wrestling movie.
And just to help out, he was an executive producer for the show, the sports series Slam Ball. If you guys don't know what that is, it's amazing. It's basketball, but all trampolines, and you can tackle each other. It's fucking stupid. It's literally like if Idiocracy came up with their own sport in the like in the future, that's Slam Ball.
That was a sport in some kind of like science fiction movie or something. I don't know what the movie was, but like I've seen it.
Well, it was a real sport for a while. Like, yeah, that's the thing.
Huh.
Yeah. So yeah. You guys have any last thoughts or anything? Or Dubs, you got anything?
No, I was going to point out Sal Bandini, reminded me of Stu Hart, which we already covered. I love titties. So the Nitro Girls, I always like, they actually did get the actual Nitro Girls in there besides like Sasha being like the actress in there, the rest of them.
Yeah.
I always remember that short hair blonde lady in Nitro and the Asian one. but Zach, did you have any other things about this film that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, wait, that actually does remind me of one other thing that was kind of funny. It was stupid though, but it's on that same level of dumb clever. Whenever they're having like the scene where they're in the bed and they're about to have sex, and she gets on top of him, they're about wrestling, and then she takes off her shirt and shows her tits, and he goes, "Foreign objects!" And he punches her, and they start like having wrestle sex. It's funny because her tits are fake. That's what they're foreign objects. It's so dumb, but it is kind of it's in that same level of like stupid humor. I don't know.
I was pissed off at first because I was like, she shows her tits in like Doom Generation and a bunch of other movies, but it's PG-13 movie, so I guess what.
Oh well.
But yeah, like no, I don't really have any other major thoughts about the movie. It's not a good movie, but it's still like kind of so bad it's good territory in a sense, but also because I'm a wrestling fan, it kind of aggravates me in a lot of ways. And it also aggravated me that they were like, this is all a work, brother, and then it was a real fight. That's so confusing and it aggravates me.
the only way I could think of is like they were just trying to appease like the super, super casuals, because you know that one super casual is probably going to be like, Rachel and Fang! And that's what they kind of leaned on. And they also kind of like come full circle where it's kind of real in a way. It's a real fight. I love like that they kept the Stain character in place, by the way, where he's just like this silent guy, and then he, the only line he says like, Jim King's all right.
Yeah, you you all right.
Yeah. And then, you know, they get hit by Sting, which I thought was funny. And then when Gordy does like a spear, he like he shows up fucking Goldberg. And one last thing, when they're trying to recruit Goldberg and stuff, like Gordy goes Bill Goldberg, and that Bret Hart fucking promo like comes in my head. He's like, "What are you gonna do about it, Bill Goldberg?"
Yeah, Bill Goldberg. Oh, you guys also like that? Psycho Sid got his ass beat by Bandini. Yeah. I love that. He's like crying.
The thing that made me laugh the most was that he was sneaking around in this guy's house. This fucking 6'10" motherfucker, like, was
stealthing. That's another thing. It's like, you think how bad it is, but like, there's like parts of it. It's like, okay, that was funny. Like, that part made me laugh too, because like, that motherfucker is massive. And on our show, you guys watch Getting Some Color at All, we always, nearly always, have the ending with him coming out and finding that his car's crushed. He's like, oh my God, there's nothing subtle about this guy. Like, so he's like, he's the guy chose for breaking and entering. It's so dumb.
My final thoughts is, like, I have two recommendations. If you're a wrestling fan, and you just want to see, like, the wrestlers and stuff, like, I guess a mid-recommendation. But if you're a casual and stuff, no. I don't recommend this film. All right, who's next?
Yeah. If you like dumbass 90s movies, yeah, watch it. You know who you are. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm kind of in that same boat. Like, you have to be in two very specific circles. You either love wrestling, so you should watch it, even if you end up hating it, just because like there's something there. You can at least appreciate the downward spiral of WCW, because a microcosm of it kind of exists in this movie, which is actually the ironic part. I thought this movie would do well, and it actually kind of exposes some of the bullshit that was really happening in WCW, but it is what it is. But there's that, or I kind of agree with Andy. If you just like have that whole like guilty pleasure type of thing where you watch really shitty 90s movies and would laugh at them, then yeah, you should. If you think Good Burger's a top 10 film, then you should watch this, because you'll probably like it.
Oh, Jesus.
That's fair.
I'm kind of in the same boat for the most part. Yeah, if you like bad movies, you enjoy watching that sometimes, this one might be okay for you. It's also a good bit of 90s pop culture. And even though the movie came out in 2000, it's just like the end of that. And yeah, if you're a wrestling fan, I don't know. It's going to be 50-50. It's either going to piss you off or you're just going to laugh at it. So I'm going to thumbs middle.
Did they not have enough money for NWO?
Apparently not.
I saw NWO shirt in the background once. I remember thinking, like, what the hell? Like, why don't they do more of that?
I'm sure Hogan wanted too much money, and I'm sure Nash probably also wanted too much money, and I think Hall was already gone by that point.
And I guess if Hulk Hogan was there, and like, let's say he was going to be the main character, he would not want to lose. He'd be like,
"That doesn't no, work brother. For me, brother.
Doesn't work for me, brother."
Oh man! I mean, Mr. Perfect was there, and fucking Macho Man Randy Savage was there, and.
A lot of bones. Like, I just thought of the Spider-Man film when I saw Randy Savage like that.
Old Saw's ready. Yeah. I got you
for 2 minutes here. we didn't even discuss this, but who's next in the picking of wrestling movies?
Andy, did you ever pick one?
No.
Chad, did you ever pick one?
I mean, I have a default if it's not. If no one's picked one, boy, it'll be quite the shift from what we just watched. So, What so is I can get the wrestler with Mickey Rourke.
The wrestler. The
That's perfect.
I just want to watch that movie. I've never watched it. It's been on my list to watch for a long time.
Let's do it. Let's do the drastic shift.
I've held one in the chamber, and it's like, you know what? I want to watch this movie. I want to cry because watching Ready to Rumble after watching possibly the greatest WrestleMania of all time almost made me cry in a different way. It may have just been stomach pains from the Taco Bell. I don't know.
Lord. Yeah, I say we go with the wrestler.
Okay, the wrestler it is. So remember to watch that, then come back, and then we'll talk about that. Before we get into host credit scene, we have an ad. Be right back.
Wrestling nerds, wrestling weebs, wrestling fans. If you're looking for a different kind of podcast, one that goes over actual big wrestling news, I mean real stories, not somebody getting divorced or baseless rumors or whatnot, and get some color, we got that. We also do reviews of wrestling from the past, but sometimes we also do wrestling from the modern day too, if it's something that interests us at the time. Other than that, I would say the main attraction is just three guys who have been lifelong wrestling fans doing what wrestling fans do. Cutting up, cracking jokes, and just enjoying the entertainment wrestling can provide, however that comes. If you want to catch Getting Some Color, you can catch it bi-weekly on Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, usually.
What the fuck? Is that Johnny Five? What is that?
No. It's an owl ring.
Oh. It's like blurred. I thought that was like a short circuit or something, Johnny Five.
Form of owl.
Zach, you're first on the video thing for the clockwise. So the
video scope, yeah.
Okay. I haven't done too much since last show. I watched a couple movies, started playing another game. I watched Apollo 18.
Yeah, was that good? I always wanted to see it.
It's okay.
That's what everyone says, so I never watched it.
It doesn't really live up to like what you expect in your head. But it's not bad either. It's like, if you're like a really big fan of found footage movies and you like space stuff, you probably enjoy it enough, like where you don't feel like you wait. Cause like, I don't feel like I wasted my time watching it, but at the same time, I don't really think it's like a good movie either, but it's not bad. It's like somewhere in the middle. What was kind of interesting to me though, was like, I found out that the director, he filmed like four different endings for that movie or something.
Cool.
Yeah, and they're all like pretty different from one another. Like one was has anybody seen this movie?
I think I've seen it. I just don't remember it.
If you don't want to see the movie, I'll tell you the endings.
Yeah, I don't care about spoilers.
I don't give a fuck. You know.
Yeah, so like the ending he went with, the theatrical ending, is like, so there's like weird aliens on the moon and they infect a guy and they have to get out of there. And one guy that's not infected gets on a shuttle and tries to get away. But it turns out he's also infected too. And there's a guy who's like been orbiting the moon, getting ready to pick up the little shuttle from the lunar surface, and he crashes into him. And so everybody that went on this mission died pretty much.
Yeah, it was like a mysterious mission we never found out about, right? So
yeah. And then there's an ending where the guy in the craft orbiting the moon gets away, and they basically just grill the hell out of him back home, and like, I think they arrest him or something. They basically like detain him. And there's an ending where they both go home, but they're both infected now. And now this weird infection is spreading on Earth. I can't remember what the fourth one was now, but it was, he filmed pretty drastically different endings and just decided to go with that one.
What's your guys' thoughts on that? Like, these directors, they like film like four different or many different endings, and then they put it through like a test like audience and stuff so that they could pick it, or the production company is just like, no, fuck it, you're doing what we want you to do, the producers.
Film whatever you want. That's always been my policy. Put it as a special feature, though. I want to see that shit.
Yeah. That's my thing. I was like, I want the director's vision of what he wants in the film, but like also put that as like the behind the scenes type of stuff.
Yeah, like it wasn't clear if that was what he ultimately went with, or that's kind of like what he was coaxed into going with. I didn't look that deeply into it. Okay. The other movie I watched was the New York Ripper. It's a Lucio Fulci movie from 1982. Cool. And it sucked.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of like in the case of old stuff like that, it's the good stuff that floated to the top.
It was not good. It was ridiculous, though. Like I didn't, again, it was like kind of a case where it's like I don't totally feel like I wasted my time watching it. But I don't think I could recommend it to anybody unless you like bad movies a lot. Because it kind of gets into that area. Now it's I don't know how to really pronounce this, a giallo film.
Yeah, that's right, I think.
And which are like Italian murder mysteries that are usually get pretty crazy with like the twists or whatever, whatever's going on. Lots of gore typically, or it's like exploitative in a sense. But it revolves around this guy like killing women, and like he quacks at people when he kills them like a duck. And I swear to God, he sounds like Donald Duck having a fit. Like, that's not an exaggeration. It literally legitimately sounds like somebody's doing a Donald Duck impression and they're slashing somebody.
I guess you're supposed to be weird. Like, oh, that's so fucked up. He's doing a childhood thing, but he's also killing a bitch.
No, it just makes me laugh because it's so ridiculous. Some guy's doing a Donald Duck impression and killing people. That's the effect it has on me.
It's over the top, yeah.
And like it's literally like blah, 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 and you just see like stabbing motions, and it's just like I can't do anything but laugh at that. Like, what if I don't know if that was the correct reaction. But like the twist at the end of it is like this guy lost his mind because like his daughter's like dying of some kind of like disease or whatever in a hospital. And he would talk to her on the phone in like a silly duck voice. And that was supposed to be like, they tried to explain it and it was just stupid and poorly written, and it sucked.
Was it one of those deals where it was supposed to be like this big like shock, like, oh my, and then that happens and it's like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like nobody cared, and it's jarring because it's like,
you nailed it.
Okay, it's kind of what it sounded like when you described that, and I'm like, the fuck? That doesn't sound right.
That was my reaction. I was like, all right. Like, they swerve you. They try to swerve you with this other guy, and they make you think, like, he's the killer, but he's not. And there's a lot of, like, nudity in the movie, too, and it's just like, all right. Like, it got to a point where I was, like, starting to fast forward that shit because it's just drawn out scenes of nudity for like 5 to 10 minutes, and I'm like, all right, that's enough. Where's the rest of the movie here? It's just like fucking boring. But don't recommend that. It's funny because I started looking into Lucio Fulci some more after I watched that movie. I think that's the first movie of his I've seen. And I found out he was really good friends with Dario Argento, and it's like really funny to me because apparently this guy did nothing but make like bad movies pretty much. And yeah, I don't know how that works out. It's like you're friends with like some guy who's like considered probably one of the best Italian directors, at least for like horror films or giallo things. And you're his buddy and you just do awful trash, like stuff that's banned from the UK until like 2001.
That sounds pretty terrible.
But yeah. As for what I played, I started playing Final Fantasy VII, the original one.
Oh. I was like, which one? I was waiting for that to drop.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. But I was like, I was having a conversation, I think, with my sister, and she was asking me some questions about the original. Like, how did this happen in the original? Because she never actually beat it. And I was trying to tell her some things. I was like, I don't remember a lot of the plot of the original game now because it's been too long. I realized that. Mm-hmm. Like, she was asking me questions. I was like, I can't recall the information.
I kept wanting to play it again, but I haven't done it myself.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start playing it now so I can remember, because legitimately the last time I think I played through it all the way was before 2003. I remember starting a playthrough in 2003 and I didn't finish it. I abandoned it. And it was like really early in the game too. It was like disc one. I hadn't played it ever since. So it's been 21, 22 years since I've beaten it.
That's so funny. Did the remake kind of like muddy the water through you?
No, because like that's what's funny is I remember a lot of what happened in Midgar before. And I remember a lot of other certain plot points in the game. But there's just certain things. If you just ask me a random question, I'll be like, I don't know. And the holes will start forming in the cheese. But what's funny to me, though, is I got through Midgar and I'm getting ready. I'm already out in the world map now. it's like I finished Midgar in like 7.5 hours. And they made like a 50-hour game out of that. The first part of the remake.
The fact that it took you 7.5, like you can, depending on what you're doing or how quickly you're just like pushing through versus just like taking your time, you can turbo through Midgar in like 3 hours or less. Without, you know, like not glitching anything, but like just straight up, like literally just doing the minimal thing and pushing through. Yeah, you can do it in like 3 hours. It's always been funny to me that you could push through that game in 3 to 4 hours, and they made that into, like you said, a 50-hour game. It's nuts.
Yeah, like
oh,
Did we lose you? Yep, we lost him. Damn.
Well, I guess give it about like maybe 10 seconds and 10 Mississippis. We might have just lost him for good.
Square Enix did not like what he had to say.
And he canceled him. All right, well, while waiting for Zach, Chaz, we're going to go counterclockwise. What the hell have you been watching, playing, or doing?
Sure. So I don't have a whole lot because much of what I'm going to talk about will get covered on our next episode of Getting Some Color. But I'm still playing through Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I didn't get a whole lot of time to play through since our last episode. I'm in Cosmo Canyon. Game's still awesome. I'm just grinding through stuff. It's fun. Played a little Pokemon and got to watch some of the European Championships. Had a buddy that competed there. It was in London. He unfortunately missed his winning in for day two, which stinks, but he said he had a great time. And then I had another friend, kind of a friend of a friend's, more of an acquaintance. He got third place in the TCG, which is really cool. So good for him. The big thing. Oh, before I get to that, as far as things I watched separate from shows, I watched the latest episode of Dark Side of the Ring, which was about Harley Race. This ties into what I brought up earlier about the hookers, the guys that would like grab people and hook them and literally just stretch them for long stretches of time. Mm-hmm. This episode was so good. Harley Race was a bad son of a bitch. Holy shit. I did not know as many of the stories about him, but he grew up hard. That man was tough as fuck. Like, tough as a $2 steak is like just a perfect description of this guy. It was a great episode. I mean, it just covered largely how like he just was always about trying to do what was best for the business. And it talks about how Vince McMahon tried to pull some shit on him, and he basically dropped Vince, which was really funny. It goes over how he chased Hulk Hogan down, and he actually prevented WWE WWF from having an event on their territory by burning the ring down. Like, you know, it's like he was a crazy son of a bitch. Like he was nuts, but he was also a badass. But it just goes over a lot of that. So I went to Philly this weekend, and the goal, of course, the main thing was I went to WrestleMania night one and night two. You know, I've already said it on the show itself for spoilers. It was just amazing. But I'll leave details for matches and stuff for our other show. At last minute, I also was able to get tickets. Actually, these were near basically front row seats to NXT Stand and Deliver, which was the NXT show that happened on Saturday before WrestleMania Night 1. It was also an awesome show for what it was. But yeah, that WrestleMania, especially the Night 2, was just – it was insane. So yeah, that's all I've got. I traveled a ton.
You saw Knuckles. Knuckles was there.
Yeah, Knuckles, for some reason, Knuckles, I guess he has a movie coming out on Paramount Plus.
It's a show, right?
Or maybe it's a show. It may be a show. They didn't really say, not that I could hear the announcement team, but basically they had a stretch area in front, in the very front row. I was two rows back from that, and Knuckles is blocking the way. My brother took a picture, was like, seriously, you pay all this money for these seats and this is what you get? It's kind of funny. But they had him there for like 5 minutes. And promoted the movie and then moved on and had him get up. But then later they brought out they had some people from Stardom and Julia, I think is her name, who is one of the hottest free agents right now as far as wrestlers go, especially for female wrestling. I think it just got confirmed today she's signing with WWE. But she was with none other than Sir William Regal. And we got to do a thank you Regal chant. I got a fist bump from William Regal, which was bad fucking ass. Yeah, not gonna ever forget that. It's kind of cool.
I haven't washed his hand for years.
Yeah, I haven't washed it yet. It's my beaten hand too. I don't know what I'm gonna do. No. but yeah, the show is great. I guess because I don't know if we're gonna cover NXT. I figured we'll just cover WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2. I will say this again. In a stadium versus like an arena where it's closed, like stuff doesn't get to be as loud because the acoustics are different, of course. And nothing still will be as loud as what happened just for the sheer volume of people and everything being there. But I will say this, being in that stadium during the NXT show, Trick Williams was fucking over. And that place was loud as shit. It still had like 15,000 people in there and they were all screaming. Whoop that trick. And it was loud as fuck. It was awesome. The whole show was really good. Braun Breaker, he was the opening match in the tag team match. He ran the ropes so hard he made the ring move. Can't even say it right. It's so astounding. Like there's a video to show the replay of it, and I saw him move and he was moving super fast. But on our end, we couldn't tell that he moved the ring. But if you watch from the hard cam and like during the pay per view, you can actually see it. He runs the ropes so hard one time. That he to set up for a spear, that he actually makes the ring move, the whole ring. That's insane. That guy is fucking strong. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is a great show. I would recommend if you're interested in NXT at all, definitely go back and watch that show. It was awesome, and because it was like the record for like the largest attendance for their pay per views. And then I guess technically I watched Raw last night, the Raw after WrestleMania, which was also very good. But like I said, I'll leave more of that to when we do our Getting Some Color episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
All right. Andy, what about you?
Yeah, still working on Infinite Wealth a bit, but I didn't play it that much since our last episode. But I did play and beat the story mode in Sonic Origins. And then after that, like, there's all these Game Gear games in it, so I decided to just, like, horse around and play some of those for a bit. I started playing Sonic Blast on the Genesis, and it sucks, but I accidentally beat it. So,
wait, Sonic 3D Blast, I'm assuming?
Huh?
Sonic 3D Blast?
I mean, it's on the Game Gear, so it's not 3D. It's Sonic Blast.
Oh, just Sonic Blast. Okay, I got you. On the Game Gear. It also sucks, though.
But yeah, it's, I don't know, it kind of sucks, and I was just, like, listening to a podcast and horsing around with it. And then at some point, I was like, is this the last zone? I looked it up, and it was. I was like, I guess I'll just beat this game. That way, I never have to look at it ever again for any reason. Huh. But but it sucks. Don't play it. I've been off work, so like sometimes in the morning I just put on a movie I've seen before and rewatch it while I do other stuff. But I rewatched Spirited Away. It's still great. I rewatched the Simpsons movie. It's still underwhelming. I played Bonky Trek. You guys ever heard of Bonky Trek?
No.
It is a very bizarre game. I don't know if I recommend it necessarily. It was on sale. And I gave it a shot. You're like in the desert and you're trying to get to town on your donkey and you have to hit it in the back of the head. But if you hit it too hard, you'll decapitate it and you have to keep it fed or it'll starve to death. And then you encounter weirdos in the desert. It's animated very poorly on purpose. It's bizarre. It's an experience. I was hoping Zach would still be here so we could discuss the Japanese Grand Prix, which was the best race of the year so far, but I did watch that. It was very good. And then I'd seen the show advertised a few times and thought it wasn't for me, but I heard that The Righteous Gemstones was conceived, developed, and written by Danny McBride. And then I looked into it and Danny McBride wrote it with, what's the guy's name? David Alan Green or something like that. But it's the two people who made Eastbound and Down. Made Righteous Gemstones.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll give it a shot. And it's John Goodman, Danny McBride, and Adam Devine. He's the short guy in Workaholics, and a bunch of other people that I don't really know from anything that well. The show is extremely good. I just started watching it, 5 or 6 days ago, and I'm almost done with season 3, and that's all there is so far. It's just 3 seasons. But it is, it is hilarious. It is a comedy, but it's like Eastbound and Down, where it's like there's some buffoon characters, but everyone else is pretty much serious, and there's a serious story going on, and you want to know what happens, but, you know, at the heart of it are, you know, unlikable idiot characters. Like, Danny McBride is just, he's just Kenny Powers, pretty much, but yeah. Extremely rich and religious, and it's a really good show, though. I highly recommend it.
What's it on?
Max.
It's on Max, okay.
Yeah, but, I've been enjoying it a whole lot, and a bunch of other characters have all been extremely good. But I mean, Danny McBride and John Goodman really steal the show. They're both excellent, but I like it a lot. I guess next week I'll talk about the conclusion of it, but I've been having a good time with it.
Right. Other than that, anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, I'll cover something that we watched night one together. Part of it, me and Andy watch night one. I think the main event, he tapped out because he had a lot of yard work and he was tired. And then night two, my back fucking had like spasms and shit, and I couldn't sit down on this chair, so I sat down on the living room couch to watch night two. And it was really annoying trying to get to the bathroom because I had to get out of the couch, and that was even worse. So I was in pain the whole time. We're going to talk about and getting some color WrestleMania. We have a lot of things to say about the future of WWE and how stupid AEW, what they're doing. I guess I'll like explain it for context for Andy real quick.
That's okay. You can keep it on getting some color.
Well, no, it's a quick thing because CM Punk had an interview and said pretty much Tony Khan is a nice guy, but he's not a boss. Kind of angered Tony Khan to the point where this Wednesday on Dynamite, they're releasing the footage of CM Punk backstage brawl in Wembley against Jungle Boy. And it's going to be the real footage of him beating up Jungle Boy.
Yeah, I don't think it's the flex they think it is. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see how this is going to play out. Allegedly, for Meltzer, it's the Young Bucks are responsible for setting this up, and it's going to be in a way that will embarrass CM Punk. I mean, unless it actually shows Jungle Boy beating the fuck out of CM Punk, and like that, it's just completely the opposite of what's been reported the whole time. I can't see how that's possible. Like, and even then, they just look petty. Like, there's nothing good that comes out of them doing this. Like, they've reopened this wound that just, like, they just need to move on.
Yep. I'll discuss that on Friday because I have a lot of shit to say. And when it finally gets released, yeah. I'm probably going to have some shit to say. So I'll wait for that.
fair. Very fair.
Well, let's see what Zach. Zach sent a message. He said he's unfortunately out because of his internet. All right. Well, anyway, me, I've been watching, besides like Mania, I've been watching like these like YouTube shorts of this old guy playing Battlefield 2042. And he's like a Navy SEAL veteran who deals with sniper rifles. And he's like yelling at his chat because he live streams. And because people are like, oh, your kill death ratio sucks. He's like, bitch, I'm a recon. I'm finding these fucks. And I'm telling my teammates. I'm not out here trying to get like all these kills. And then when he actually starts killing people, dude, he's shooting like fucking really, really far away and like getting headshots. And it's because the game is like it's literally a military sim with sniper rifles. So he's like doing all the airflow and all that stuff in the sniper rifle. And he's like doming these people. And I'm just like, man, he's making me want to play Battlefield 2042. So before this podcast, I turned on some Battlefield 2042. I was having fun.
Battlefield games are fun.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm not tired of it, but I'm also, I guess I am saying I'm tired of it. I'm tired of like these hero shooters where it's just like everybody has to have an ultimate and all that stuff. Just give me a fucking gun. Give me some grenades and shit and a gun and I'm ready to fucking fight. And that's what Battlefield 2042 is filling that void. I actually want to play Battlefield 1. That's my favorite Battlefield.
It's mine too.
Yeah, so I might re-download that one and see if that's still kicking. I think it is. I don't know. But other than that, I've been looking at career paths and I'm going to be doing a coding boot camp class in summertime so that I can learn coding. Just a quick thing. I've always been fascinated with websites. Andy knows, like, I always had like a website somewhere and I like messing around with that shit. So I'm like, I need to learn this. Like, I've been dabbling with websites for almost a decade now. And I don't know why I didn't choose that path, but it's interesting to me. And it's a good field of getting clients to get a job for. So, yeah, hopefully that works out. But Zach said he can't make it because his internet borked. So anyway, I think we're going to let PP Dubs take it away. The Wrestler is going to be the next movie that we're going to be talking about. So PP Dubs, take us away. Peace. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
He's waving again.
Hey, do you want to be in the show? Make sure you email them bigtroublenet@gmail.com. They are also on Twitter @BigTroubleNet. You can listen to all their shows on all podcast services. So until next time, catch ya in the next pit stop.